Mm-hmm.
Well, that's because the actors are so comfortable in their own skins. They get up and they put the glove of their character on and they come to work. There's none of that kind of insecurity, I think, that you have when you're starting. So it's been fantastic. And Chris is so, as you guys just saw, he has an ability to really communicate his ideas really calmly and cleanly. Mm-hmm. And I think they all just, like, you know, just love it. You know, it's been going on.
It's amazing.
That's going to be the big fun thing, I think, for the fans, is just be like, oh my gosh, I had no idea. You know? Really
fantastic. Copy.
And you guys did, none of you were here ever in Portland when we shot Bella's house, right?
No.
So
no.
We've completely built the exact.
I know. It's incredible. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's a perfect replica. How long did it take to build?
I think we got it up in we built it on the studio lot. Mm-hmm. So we built the whole thing and then we took it apart in walls and moved it. So the building process there was like, you know, about a month of like really getting it right. And then putting it up here was like a week. And like they really just moved. The landscaping actually, oddly enough, is the thing that takes a lot of time.
Right.
Really trying to get the ground right. And finding the trees, you know,
right.
Perfect tree.
Did you build the little house across the street too?
Yeah, we built it. Well, it's literally just two-piece facades.
Right.
When you see it, you just kind of feel it. The only thing we didn't build is, remember the blue house on this side?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be, anytime we look this way, it's going to be CG. We'll put it there in CG. Mm-hmm. So it was just too much to try to like create the entire street.
Yeah.
And the people that live here wouldn't have been too happy.
Do you have a different feel this time around than last time? More secure or?
No, I mean, I think if anything, you know, you're more secure with the people. I mean, for me, like, it's a whole new crew, right? Except for the actors and me, you know, and so for me, it's fun because you get new blood, like new energy is a good thing. I think things can kind of stagnate if you don't bring something fresh to the mix. And I think that, so while Chris is a very calm presence, constant thoughts into like, okay, how do we elevate it? How do we make it better? You know, you're constantly thinking about the other movie, and in some sense, this movie is its own movie.
Yeah.
But you also want to make sure that you're always remembering this is what the audience will be coming to, having seen Twilight, right? So we're bringing them into New Moon, and because the emotions of the movie are so different, I think the color palette and things need to kind of fit more with the tone of New Moon, not Twilight. You know, I think Twilight is much more mysterious and like what's going on with this town when she's new in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And here I think it's much more about like despair and reawakening and more and like she's only out of destroyed despair can you kind of grow into something new. And I think so that's like the color palette of the movie and the kind of the visuals very much represent that for Bella as she meets Jacob and really kind of forges that relationship. So it's hopefully, I mean, it's not, it's hard to get kind of too worked up. I mean, the actors are so comfortable that it's just
they know their characters now.
Yeah, there's not a lot of constant second guessing. I mean, they've all now read the books, you know, and so they really, you know, whereas in Twilight, I think they've read Twilight, but they really didn't know exactly where it's going. And I think now they have a much stronger understanding of the franchise as a whole. And Kristen is just so amazingly on it in terms of what Bella would say, what she would do. And there's like, any time we're in a scene where she's like, no, Bella wouldn't do that, she'd do that, you know, and you're like, she's right, she's like, she's got it. So she's, I think, so amazing in this film. It's like the levels that she lets herself go to in terms of being torn apart. I mean, I think as we were talking to Jillian and Eric at the studio, and they're all watching the dailies, like, we're going to have to hand out, like, boxes of Kleenex.
Well, you should.
Movie. Yeah. I mean, it's honestly.
Newman tissues.
Every time we watch a scene, we're like, oh my gosh, like, that's even more emotional than the last scene. I mean, you've got Edward breaking up with him, and you've got Jacob in the rain when she shows up and he's like not returned her calls. It's like the most heartbreaking scene. It's amazing. And then the final scene of the movie is, you know, we shot, you know, in her saying goodbye to Jacob, and it's just great. It's like, it's
so you've already shot the end.
We haven't shot the Italian stuff.
Right.
We've shot, they come back, and we shot the scene where they come, you know, point Jacob in the road, and he reminds Edward of the treaty and her, and she basically has to sort of say, we had a great time, but Edward's back.
Later.
I gotta go. So are you paying for Kristen's therapy after all this? Method actor? Or she's got to be destroyed or exhausted by the end of each day.
Well, that's the thing that people forget is, like, she shoots every day. Like,
right.
In the movie, yeah, you shoot a few scenes, you get a couple days off, you I mean, she has such amazing tenacity and professionalism, you know, in terms of sticking with them every day, showing up ready for the next scene. It's Stephanie, maybe finally in Breaking Dawn, we have a chunk that's from Jacob's point of view. She might get a break. Yeah. It's like when you write a book series from, you know, one character's point of view. Mm-hmm. So subjectively, it's like pretty much nothing takes place off screen that she's not a part of.
Really, yeah. So.
What's been the most challenging thing so far with this shoot?
The most challenging thing so far probably has been the meadow scene with Laurent, and the wolves attacking. And part of what made it challenging is that to find, I think we've actually accomplished what we didn't really find in the first film, which is
a meadow.
The meadow that is what everybody thought of when they read the books. I mean, honestly, we went to, it's like an hour and a half out of town, it's right at the foothills of the mountain, and literally we're walking through the woods, and you come out to this perfectly round meadow, and we're like, oh my gosh, this is it. But the problem
where were you last year? Why didn't we scout further, damn it?
Well, the problem, like last year we had a meadow, but we, you know, it was still under snow cover at the end of the shoot, and so we had to kind of scramble and find that place
the
with
LA
all the
meadow,
rocks.
Right.
And, well, also, we shot most of the scene with those rocks and those mossy trees, which wasn't really the meadow, and then we had the meadow scene in LA at a golf course. So we've got that, but the reason it was just challenging from a production standpoint is we shot the scene over like 3 days, and on the one day it was perfect, you know, kind of overcast, you know, weather, and the next day it snowed 4 inches, and we're like, okay, we got to go inside and shoot something here, and then the snow finally, we had out like heaters out there melting the snow so that we could shoot the second half of the scene and match it from the other day, and then it's just technically hard because it's CG character, you know, Laurent's having to like, oh my gosh, there's nothing.
There's a piece of tape. Yo.
There's a green ball, and it's coming out. So it was, you know, I think that's been the kind of most challenging is the coordination of you know, the wolves, you know, CG wolves with Laurent, and also just, you know, he's still got to move like a vampire and all that. So it was pretty complicated, and it was far out in the middle of nowhere. So you didn't have, like here, you can step off the road with your equipment and you're shooting there. You're like hauling everything through mud. And you know, trying to get out there. So,
have you guys had any setbacks as far as, like, you know, I mean, there's fans posted up everywhere. Have you had any, you know, has that affected it in any way?
No, it's, you know, it's funny. I think if anything, the fans have been kept in a weird way further from the set than the last film. You know, the last film, people are just kind of, they're always like a couple people hanging out, you know, hi, here we are. But I think they're, you know, the level of attention now is such that I think everyone, you know, has to keep a little bit, you know,
the security's been so much,
so much tighter,
thicker,
perimeter.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's just, you know, Rob and Kristen and Taylor have all become something different now. I mean, they can't really go anywhere without being, you know, besieged.
Is there anything you guys learned when filming Twilight that you said, we're definitely going to change this for New Moon?
We recast Edward, so Rob Pattinson's not in this movie.
Oh,
you know, I've been hearing that all week. Oh,
that's our soundbite right there. That's the soundbite right there.
You guys, that's Rick's joking.
But the new Edward, he's really great. I mean,
does he look like Ramsay?
He's cross-eyed.
And it's true, she does go away with Jacob, right?
I think the one thing we thought of after we saw Twilight was, you know, if we could still pull off the emotions of that, but also expanded visually. That was something we felt like, you know, that the film could be opened up visually and really, you know, show us the Pacific Northwest and the Olympia rainforest and all that stuff in a way. We had segments of it in Twilight, but we thought, you know what, the views are so great anyway, like let every shot kind of look like
do the long sweeping, long shots.
And I think that's going to be kind of eye-opening for people. And I think the vampire movement, I think we really wanted to, you know, do something different and sort of make people feel like, okay, that is how I imagine it in the books, when Bella can't see them, they're moving so fast. Mm-hmm. And so we've really tried to tackle that from a visual standpoint, such that when we see them move, they are, you know, speeding through in a way that, you know, you really can't catch them, you know, like they're moving too fast almost. So I think that would be cool.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That's Wick Godfrey.
Thank you. I was going to say, I need the last name.
He's the producer.
The exec producer.
He's the absolute most absurd thing we've done so far. Last year, when we shot Twilight, we shot the school when they were on vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Both times. Like, you know, but all the interiors, spring break. Easy, right? So this time, for all of our school stuff, we had to shoot it when Jessica, the actress that's playing Jessica, was available. Mm-hmm. And it was like a lot of scheduling problems. So the only time we could shoot it is with the school in session. So literally
I heard about this.
My gosh. So basically, we're trying to shoot these scenes with the kids who are literally in between classes screaming bloody murder, because like every time they see a glimpse of Rob, whatever, they just go crazy. And we were trying to like bring people. It was chaos. It's like, never again will I ever shoot
during school.
Well, particularly with this franchise, like the idea of trying to trot Rob Pattinson down the hallways of a school where, like, you know, girls would come out of the bathroom just by accident, like in between, you know, when class was in session. Because we thought basically when they're in class, we're fine. We can go up and down the halls. They're all in class. But every now and then you'd get somebody like walk out of the hallway and go.
Well, don't you think they were asking, like, can I go to the bathroom?
I need a hall pass.
For a while, like, we didn't tell them what the movie was. We were just like, they're shooting a movie. But, like, clearly, like, by the time we were shooting,
as soon as Rob shows up.
No, everyone knew what it was, because they go through their hallway and they look up and they see something that says Forks High School. Oh my gosh. And they're, like, all videotaping it and putting it online, you know, that we're shooting there. And so by the time we shot there, not only were there, like, hundreds of people outside just waiting for a glimpse, but every day was a nightmare trying to make every scene without, you know, we shot the cafeteria, and literally on their lunch break, and we had to keep shooting because we didn't have enough time, they're crammed up against the windows trying to, like, look in at the scene, and it's horrible to the actors who are sitting there going, isn't it kind of loud in the hallways to be trying to shoot our dog?
Can I go for a follow-up?
Yeah.
Because Kalama had such a distinctive look on the outside, were there any exterior shoots since it was a different high school?
No, the only thing we shot the parking lot. You know, so the parking lot in Kalama, you know, where you really see the school there.
Right.
What we did was we found a parking lot in kind of like the woods, and it's actually the right shape parking lot. Mm-hmm. We built the stairs and the railing and all those kind of distinct stairs, and then we put a huge green screen up where we put in the school. So we had all the cars there, and so most of it's just playing around the cars, and the scene in Twilight where the van's there and they're all gathered up. It kind of has that feel, but in the background you'll see, and we have people going up our set steps. So a lot of little tricks to kind of move from Portland to Vancouver.
The good news is
you get meadows and like
Well, the weather's been better.
It's interesting. They'll definitely be more sunlight in this movie than in Twilight.
And there should be.
Twilight,
well, there's less.
There should be.
They're less vampires.
So it's all okay.
Actually, we thought maybe that when, instead of in the breakup scene where he says, you know, my family and I are leaving, and Carlisle's getting, you know, 10 years older than he should be, and people are starting to notice, I'm like, we should just have him put in, like, the Farmer's Almanac says it's going to be really sunny this year.
So we got to go.
Alice says it's going to be really sunny. Too sunny.
It's going to be really sunny for us.
How big is the CG budget? Obviously, has grown from Twilight. Is it doubled, or why did Summit decide to put more money into it, just because of the movie itself, or because of the success of the first film?
They had more money.
First of all,
the movie eked out a profit.
Barely, just a little bit of a profit.
Well, I was so scared.
a little bit more money. I think the existence of the werewolves in this sort of demands a bigger CG budget. So, I mean, you can't make the movie without getting that element of the movie perfect. And so, part of having, the reason of bringing in Chris is he successfully made you know, realistic CG, you know, animal characters, and and so we wanted to make sure that we had the right amount of money to do that. So it's really just the demands of the this particular movie. It's not really because we have more money to play with. It's because the movie demands, you know, more money to get it right.
Do you sometimes feel like you're almost making three different movies? You have Cullens, you have Werewolves, and you have Volturi.
Yes, and next we'll have newborns. I mean, that's the great thing about it, and you guys know, I mean, every book brings something new to the table, so you always feel like you're getting something else to be like, oh my gosh, how that's going to play out. So I just can't wait to shoot the birth scene with Breaking Dawn. So.
Yeah. have you discussed that?
Have you talked about that?
No, well, it's certainly because it exists as a book and it's part of the, you know, the series. You definitely, your mind, all of our minds individually think about how will we do that? How will we do that?
Oh, as like we were reading the book, we're like, how the heck are they going to do this?
Stephanie came
and keep it PG-13.
I don't know how you do it without keeping it PG.
When Stephanie came and visited on Twilight, and she was finishing Breaking Dawn, and we were all sitting at lunch in pre-production on Twilight, so we're all just kind of getting to know each other. And she was like, you guys are going to hate me. They're like, I don't know how movie magic is going to pull what I'm doing and break out. We're like, what are you doing? She's like, I can't tell you. so it's, yeah, exactly.
So not even you knew?
No. She's, you know, I read the book. We all read the book. Although I may have gotten it quicker because I downloaded it on Kindle at exactly 12 o'clock. I didn't have to wait in line. So started reading it. No, it's, you know, my wife's an OBGYN, so I already, I know it can be done in a PG-13 way.
So did you like Breaking Dawn?
I'll bring her on as an expert. I loved it, actually. I mean, for me, it's mature in a way that speaks, you know, to someone my age reading it. I mean, I was just like, gosh, that's, I have three kids. I've got, you know, you totally come to understand the next level of Bella's life is going to be the adult life. And I think to me that's what's kind of, what was so daring about Breaking Dawn and brilliant about it was that she didn't pander to what she thought her audience was. She said, this is what's right for Bella and Edward, and this is where their story needs to go. And I really love that about it. You know, I mean, certainly there's things that are shocking. There are things that you're like, oh my gosh, I never thought it would go there. But that's good. I mean, that's what makes for good drama. You know, so I love it. I don't know how we're going to do it.
All right, see you guys. Thank you.